Okay, so today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Gimel. Learn today's daf. Zeis Teichon Nishmas Yisrael Isser Ben Zion Ben Yaakov, whose yahrzeit is today. Neshama should have an aliyah. Okay, so we are in Kuf Yud Gimel. I think we're in the middle discussing just a small point. The Gemara is now again they're trying to prove that in the times of the Midbar there was an Isser for the girl to marry somebody outside of her shevet, if she had inherited something, because it would then move the property, it would move the property from her shevet to the husband's shevet. And Gemara is trying to figure out whether the iser was because it would move to the husband's shevet or move to the son's shevet. So we quoted one brisa yesterday, and now we're at the top of Amud Aleph where it's Tanya Idach. Another brisa says, same two psukim that we discussed, Lo sisov nachla mimate lamata acher. You should not have. The nachla being be taken from one shevet, from one mate to another mate. That, because the Gemara says, b'sibas habala kasam adaber. The isatori here is that you shouldn't marry somebody from another shevet, because by doing that, then the nachla would go to the husband, and the husband's shevet would then take over the land. So ata omer b'sibas habal. You're telling me that this is talking, Pasuk is talking about, we're concerned about it being turning to the baal, to the husband. Shevet o eino ella b'sibas habain. Maybe the or is it sibas or sebas? Maybe we're concerned that the nachla will turn via the yerusha of the son who is misyaches, who's identified with the husband's shevet. So the Gemara says, no, that is the prior pasuk. Kushu Omer, it says earlier, or two psukim earlier, Lo Sisov Nachla, Livnei Yisrael, Mimate El Mate, from one Mate to another Mate, Hare Sibas Habein Amor. That's talking about Sibas Habein. And therefore, I don't need another pasuk to tell me about Sibas Ben. Again, these brises are arguing what we said the other day, where we had a whole list of psukim to add Isser upon Isser. These brises are saying no, that each one is going to be going to learn something. You'll learn something out of it. So if I already have Pasuk Zion telling me that there's an Isser to do this because it might lead to the Nachla being turned over to the son's Shevet, Hamani Mekayem Lo Sisov Nachla Mimata Lamata Acher, what am I going to use the latter Pasuk of Mimata Lamata Acher? That's talking about Besivus of Alakos Medaber. That's talking about to give you an Isser also, because it's an Isser for concern about it going to the husband. So you have a problem. Even if the husband's not alive, if the son's alive, if there's no son, there would still be an Isser because you're concerned about it going to a different Shevet. Again, the Gemara later on is going to learn that this Isser only applied during that generation. It was only at that generation, which makes sense because you were concerned about how, you know, before you even get in, you're going to start having, you know, pockets of first generation Isser. Nevertheless, the Gemara says, whether you're talking about the first Brisa or the second Brisa, the Pasuk, I think, of Pasuk Zayin, which is Los Tisov Nachla Mimate Lamata Acher, that's Besibas Habal Kasam Adaber. Both come to the Maskana, but different ways, but both come to the Maskana, that Pasuk is talking about a concern for the property, for the Nachla, switching or turning over to the husband's Shevet. So my Mashma, so how do you see
what
that?
What happens at Yovel?
What do you mean what happens at Yovel?
It goes back? Goes back to the original Shevet?
No, it goes back to, it stays with the husband. It becomes his Nachla. He inherits her. Yovel goes back where there's a sale. There's no sale here. This is a Yerusha.
Oh, this is Yerusha.
Right. So Kuli Amamiyas Mimati Lamata Acher Besibas Habala Kasam Adaber. It's talking about concern about the husband, about the going to the husband's, you know, being turned through to the husband. So my Mashma. So Gemara is trying to figure out now what is the Mashma. So the pasuk to tell me that pasuk is talking about Sibas Habal. Rashbam points out that my Mashma. He points out my Mashma Tanakama. It says the Bishlama Lebrisa Basraisa Krakama Svirulev Sibas Habal Mishum the Karav Imot Femi Bal. He's saying that this question is really only going according to the second brisa. But the brisa that we learned yesterday, he says it has to be talking about the husband, because that brisa learned out from a svara that the second pasuk was Sibas Haben. So the first pasuk has to be Sibas Habal. According to the second brisa we're learning it now, there was no real svara here, right? Yesterday they mentioned because one is closer in a relationship. So see, the Rashbam tries to say that this Kasha's question, or we're trying to figure out where we're getting this from, is only according to the second Brisa. Doesn't make a difference in the Limud of the Gemara, but just to point it out, right? Rashbam says, "My Mashmul Tanakama Kabo'ile." Why are we talking about the Tanakhama? Then Bishma la Brisa, makes sense according to the second Brisa. Krok kama sfirle besibus habain. The first pasuk is talking about sibus habain, mishum the karav le imot femibal, because he's a closer relationship to the husband. So iyatim mate achel sibus habal. So then the leftover pasuk is clearly for sibus habal. The lav mashmu usa moki lahachi elam yitiruga. And it's not, they're not trying to learn it out from anything, it's just being learned out from it being the extra pasuk. El Tanakama, the Amar Hayim Matel Mata Acher, Pshitalei Tzivus Habal Ma'ariv. Right, that's just saying that's a pro. It's not a question on the. It's not a question on the first brisa. It's only the second brisa. So the Gemara says, Siman Amar Rabba Rishila Amar Kra, or Siman Amar. So the question usually Siman is followed by a mnemonic. There's no mnemonic after the word Siman over here. So if you look in the Masorah Shashatz, or he quotes that Siman, is it Masorah Shashatz? It's not the Shor Shas. If you look at it, it's like in the Hagos, he quotes a Gilyon and says that Siman is the name of an Amora. Because usually when you have a Siman, you'll just have a mnemonic to remember something. But here now it's trying to say that Siman is the name of an Amora. Okay? So.
He quotes Dick Dupay's Sfarim.
Oh, okay, fine. He quotes here, if you just look on the side, you have a Ghost with Siyunim on the side. I don't know, some of the newer printings have it. He says that Yesh Lomer Shu Shem Amora, and then he quotes also the quote in a Yavitz who says no, that Siman is Ish Yid Bekumata Zimata, that it is a mnemonic. Whatever, it doesn't matter. So Siman Amar Rav Rashila Amar Kra Ish. The reason why I know this talking about the husband is because it says Ish. It says No Tisav Nachli Mata Lamata Acher Ki Ish Benachla So Yid Bekumata Zbnei Israel, and Ish has the mashmos of a husband. So Gemara says, wait a second, Tarvayu Ish Ksibahu. Even the other pasuk, it says Ish. There it says, Lo Sisov Nachal Ne Yisrael Matel Mata Ki Ish Benachas Matel Vosav Yid Bekub Ne Yisrael. So can't go down from Ish, because Ish is in both Pesukim. The Gemara says, Amar, I don't know what the Havamino on these are. So Amar Rav Nachum, Ar Yitzhak Amar Kra, Yid Bekub. It says the word Yid Bekub in our pasuk, and Dibuk, right, Devik, clinging to each other, is man and woman. The pasuk says, V'davok V'ishdo. So, because it says, "But our prosik losis of nachli matel mata acher ish benachlo so yidbeku." Gemara says, "Tarvayu yidbeku ksiv." In both psukim it says yidbeku. The second pasuk also it says yidbeku bnei Yisrael. So can't be talking about the, can't be called the word yidbeku. So ella amar rava amar kra. The pasuk says ish benachlo so yidbeku matos. So yidbeku matos is mashma that they would. I'm not exactly sure how. It says yidbeku matos. Rashbam says, Mashma Baal, the Dvekas Matos al Yadei Baalhu. Because the Matos, the Shevet, is dependent upon the husband. So Yidbeku Matos would be the husband. So Gemara again says, Tarvai Yidbeku, Amarava, Amakra, Yidbeku Matos. That's one. So Yidbeku Matos is one raya that's talking about the husband, because Yidbeku is clinging, and Matos is the Shevet, and the Shevet is determined by the husband. And Ravashi Amar says another possible way to learn it out is Amakra mi mate le mate acher. You'd be concerned that going from one mate, one shevet, to the shevet of another. So acher, he says, the bain lav acheru. The bain is not considered acher, because the bain also has a shaychus to the mother's shevet, because he's always her. So it's not completely another, it's not completely foreign. And Rashbam says, Rav Ashi Amar Hachi Mashmar Kol Lo Tosu Nachmi Mata Ish Lo Mata Acher She Yirsenu Baalo Imti Naselo Shu Acher Legabo. He's completely different. It's a different about Im No Seves Hanachla Ade Bina She Yorsha Eina Acher Mamish Legabo The Yorish Kiria De Emahu, because he's a Yorish. He's also part of the mother. He's blood related basically. So it's not. I mean, I guess if you're comparing the two, the husband is more of an Acher than the son, the child. Okay.
Was this one of the reasons
why
we celebrate
Tuba?
The
Shvatim
we
able
to imagine?
Yeah, just Binyamin,
but
right, again, we just moments ago that this Isra we'll see later on only applied in that generation. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to try to figure out which properties the husband. We just established that the husband inherits the wife. So the Gemara is trying to tell you which types of properties, because there are two types of properties. We'll see this more often when it comes to the concept of Bechor. You have what's called muchzak, that's property they're actually holding at the present moment, and then there's property called ro'oi, which means I'm supposed to get it, or I will get in the future, like a future stream, future income stream that's supposed to come in. So we say here, we're going to say that the husband only inherits that which is muhsak, that which the wife actually holds now, not ra'u, not something that she would get later. What could she possibly get later? If her father dies and there are no sons and she's the only daughter, so she would get that inheritance. However, she doesn't get it now. So what happens if she predeceases her father? So then the father dies. Would the husband then get it first because she was ra'u? Or no, since she's not there, does it then go to the next in line from the father / father-in-law? So, Amar Rabbi Yavo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yanai, Amar Rabbi. So that line, Vumatala, and some say Mishmeid Rav Yeshua ben Karcha. Some say the name of Rav Yeshua ben Karcha. It's interesting here. Tosos goes on to try to figure out who Karcha is. There's a Havamim. There's those who say that Karcha is Rabbi Kiva. And Reese says that Karcha is Rabbi Kiva. Yeah. Rabbi in time argues, says no. He says Reese says Karcha Rabbi Kiva. That Rabbi Kiva was bald. Paul tries to quote it, and the Inyo Rabbi Tam. I don't know why here, I mean, Rabbi Shuban Karcha is quoted many times in Shas, I'm not sure why here, just a whole quote Tosos. He's more than Rabbi Shuban Karcha is quoted more than once in Shas.
No, not quoted more than once. They have the argument of
where why they choose certain places to mention, I'm not sure. Some Rabbi Yochanan, I'm Rabbi Matula, Mishmeid, Rabbi Shuban Karcha, Minayin Leba'al, She'ena notel b'ro'oi k'muchzak. How do we know that the husband can only get the muchzak, only get the items that are considered, that are in her property right now, not the future stream? Shenemar, the pasuk says, the pasuk we saw before, it's in Divrei Yamim, uskuv holiness Yair, skuv gave birth to Yair, meaning that Yair is skuv's father, v'yihi lo Esrim v'sholosh Arim be'eretz Gilad. And he, meaning Yair, had 23 cities in the land of Gilad. So what does that... So, minayin liyair shelo hayalo l'skuv. How is it possible that it seems... Wait, the reading of the pasuk is that these cities belong to Yair and didn't belong to skuv. So how is it possible that Yair, the son, had these 23 pieces of property, 23 cities, that the father didn't have? What do you mean he has and the father doesn't have? I don't know what the big deal is. Maybe he bought it. So I don't know. I don't know why this is such a big deal. The Gemara is going to bring another Havamina, but maybe he bought it. I don't know. So, right. So he says, "Minayin liyar shelo hayelo l'skuv."
I've asked this question before. It says in the Chumash that Yair went and conquered himself. He ran out and conquered these cities.
No, it's the machir nasasias l'gilad.
Yeah,
Chavis Yair. Right. So, but these are other ones, I guess. I don't know.
If he went out and conquered them, it's his, not his father's.
I don't know. I think it's another question then. Fine. I couldn't say if it's his. Maybe he bought them. I don't know. So he said...
It would go to her son. Or it would go to his husband. It would go to her child.
What do you mean?
The ones that she gets, the assets she gets after she goes.
But she doesn't have sons. It would go, if she has sons, or it would go to her father's family.
Right.
It goes down the chain.
It still goes to the father.
I'm not sure. But she had it. He wouldn't get it yet. It would go to it would go through her.
Right, but her son and
but if she didn't have sons, I'm just saying the whole point is that even though he only gets what she has at the time of death. Basically, if she had gets something, if something she would inherit something later after death, then that would go through her chain. It wouldn't transfer over to the husband. If their sons go to the sons, if there are no sons, go to the uncles, go to the brother, whatever it is.
If they had a son together, it would go to her son, which is his son.
Their son.
And the shevi follows the father. I'm saying we stay in the shevi. We go to the father's shevi.
Right, okay. But,
we're not talking about that.
Right, okay. Minayin liyar shelo hayelo skuv ela milamid shenasa skuv isha. We get tefi here that skuv married a woman and they belong to the woman's family. Umesa, and she died. B'chayei morasheha. But she died, she predeceased her mother or her father. And therefore the Nechasim never got to her before her death. They were ready to go to her, but they didn't come to her. And it's as if they didn't have any sons. There were no sons, so it would have gone straight to her. She had no siblings. It would have gone to her. And then Umes Morisheha. And then her father passed away. The Yorsha Yair. So then how does it go? So Yair, her son, inherits it, but not Skuv, her husband. Yair, the husband, the Skuv didn't get anything because it wasn't hers at the time of death. So therefore you see that it went to Yair. And then the Gemara brings another Raya.
Oh, this goes to the husband.
No, it doesn't go to the husband. That's exactly the point. it only came to her, she predeceased the people who she was getting the land from. So when she died, she didn't own it. The husband only gets what she owns at the time of death.
She did die.
That's exactly what Muchzuk, that's exactly what Roya is. So therefore the Gemara is showing to us that it doesn't go to the husband in that case. It would go to the sons, because the husband only gets what she has at the time of death. That's called Muchzuk. She doesn't get Muchzuk, she doesn't get Roya, she only gets Muchzuk.
It's really her own estate.
Whatever she owns at the moment of death would transfer to the husband. Anything that she doesn't own at the moment of death, even though she would have inherited it, but she doesn't own it at that moment, does not transfer to the husband. Va'omer, and another pasuk says, the Elazar ben Aaron mace va'ikberu, and the pasuk continues, Oso begivas Pinchas beno. So Elazar dies, and they buried him in Pinchas' field. So Gemara again asks, minay le Pinchas lo hayelo le Elazar. How does Pinchas have an inheritance, ancestral land that doesn't belong to Elazar the father? Many possible ways. He bought it. It was given.
I know.
So Milamed, who comes to teach us, Shenasa Elazar Isha, that Elazar married a woman, Umesa b'chayim morsheha, and this woman, died during the lifetime of her parents, who this property belonged to. She was his only daughter, and so when she died, she doesn't get the karka. Therefore, the husband, meaning Elazar, doesn't get it. But then Umesa morsheha, then I guess the grandfather / father-in-law dies. So then v'yarsha Pinchas. So Pinchas gets it. Pinchas will get it because Pinchas gets it as the grandson, right? He gets it as the grandson. So it goes to Pinchas, not to Elazar, because you see from here, the husband does not yorish nechasim that are ready to come to the wife. He only gets nechasim that are actually in the wife's hands at the time of death. So the Gemara then asks, my v'omer, we need two. What's v'omer? So here the Gemara gives a possibility as to why one of the cases may not have been, Kesa Kasha may have been a different scenario. The Gemara says, "V'chitema yoyer dehavi nasa itisa umesa v'yarsa." Who? Why have to go through this convoluted path? Maybe Yoyer just simply married a girl who these belonged to her. She married a girl who got this from her father who passed away, and then she died. So it goes to Yoyer. Elazar was never in the picture to begin with. Yoyer was never in the picture to begin with. Because it was just, he was inheriting it directly from his wife. He says, "V'chitema, he married a woman, umesa, and she died, v'yarsa, and he inherits her." So Talmud Omer, that's where you have the next pasuk of Elazar ben Aaron umes. Oh, okay, so maybe that's the case by Elazar ben Aaron also. Rabbeinu Gershom says, maybe you wouldn't have two psukim teach us the same thing. I don't know, who says they're teaching? This is just the facts as to what happened. I don't know. V'chitema, the Gemara says, no, maybe the case of Pinchas is different, maybe the naflalei b'steich haramim. Maybe these were the property that was given over to him b'din charam. Look at Rashbam. What does it say? There's no Rashbam. So where did I get this from? So the stei charamim are these fields that a person makes, who's made cheder, he made kaddish to Hashem, and then they go to kohanim. So maybe Pinchas got that from there. Who says he inherited through this whole way? So therefore he says, no, Amakra bino. Nachla ruyelo, we are shubino. End of the pasuk there by Pinchas, it says, Velazar ben Aaron mace, laikbro so begivas Pinchas bino. So Pinchas bino, they're learning out that bino means bino who's roy to inherit him. So he really should have been roy to go to Elazar, but it went to Pinchas' son. I don't know. I stretch. Okay. I don't see it. Okay. That's just. Never. Okay. Next part of the Mishnah was Ubnei Achos.
That's 2 days we're dealing with the same thing, exact same episode, and we have nothing.
No, that's what happened. There's so many other ways that this could have happened. And as I'm saying, Rabbeinu Gershom says, the Torah, the Tanakh, would have brought down two psukim. Well, they didn't bring down two psukim. They're just telling us where Elazar was buried. He was buried in his son's Pinchas' field. Not going to teach us anything other than that's where he was buried. I don't know, but the Chazal take it as more. Right, it's not a storybook. It's supposed to learn out. Supposed to learn out something from it. Oh, really? Oh, then that would change things.
The land
is going to go back. So that's how you have to prove that. That's why you can't say that he bought it. Because if he bought it, then it goes back. But why can't you say the same thing by Elazar that you could say by Yoya, that he just married a woman and got there? Why is it a raya? Why can't you just have the same kasha? Okay. Okay, so but we don't know when they died. Okay. Ubnei Achos. The next part of the Mishnah was Ubnei Achos. Our Gersa was Ubnei Achos. But remember, we mentioned the Rashbam had the Gersa of Ubnei Achos, which means Ubnei Achos means my your sisters. You can inherit your aunt, your father's sister. So Ubnei Achos. So Ubnei Achos. Tana Ubnei Achos. They learned in a Brisa that it's Bezafka Ubnei Achos, meaning it's the you it's Ubnei Achos below Benos Achos, and not the nieces. The nephews inherit, and not the nieces. That's not really true. No, that's not true. The nieces can inherit as well. The Gemara asks, the Mahilchasa, what halacha are you talking about here, where you're excluding the nieces? Right, Rashbam says, the Mahilchasa, mimai luhu. What are we excluding them? Havada yorshas achi iman. Nieces definitely inherit their...
There's no sons.
What?
There's no sons.
Right, so what do you say, lafuke, the lobenos achos? That's not true. They do inherit. Right, sharei habas, we say, havada yorshas achi iman. They would definitely inherit their uncle. Sharei Abbas Yorsha Ima, a woman, a daughter inherits her mother. Ubimakam Ima Omedlis Liyarish Ache Ima. So she would stand in, if her mother's not there and the line works out, she would stand in place of her mother to inherit the uncles. Sharei Isha Yorsha Sachev, Amakam Shainach, the woman inherits her brothers if there's no other brothers. Kilakuman Basamach was learning later on. So what's the Lahilsa that we say that B'nai Achos and Lo B'nos Achos? Like Gemara says, Amarav Visheshes Likadein. I think so.
Huh?
If it's paternal, if the
sister or the father's wife, why specifically say sister? We always talk about
that. Because we know that we know you inherit the uncles. That's the uncles are mentioned in the.
No, the question is it the uncle, meaning is it the niece or the nephew that's inheriting? So we know this thing, they said the nephew inherits.
And not the niece.
But why specifically say the sister's child?
Because that's the Mishnah's case. That was the case. That was the Mishnah's case.
We always talk about men. Why is the teaching something different? I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's saying it's more partial. It's the brother's child versus the brother's child.
Maybe. It says B'nai Achos here. We're talking about it's the B'nai Achos. It's they would inherit the daughters of the sister would inherit the uncle.
The nephew, the niece. I got that.
Right.
So they're saying we always quotes men. So
no, but here it's called.
Be normal to say the father's brother's child, as opposed to the father's sister's child.
But that's the chiddush that's coming down. Otherwise, because we know that already, I think from the psukim that goes that. Yeah, I don't. Okay, could be. So it says Amar Rosheshes LeKadim. It's talking about Kadima. If there's a niece and a nephew, the nephew inherits first. The boy comes ahead. You're not excluding this niece. You're just saying that she gets pushed after the nephew. Rashbam says no. Sheyakdum u habanim lebonos liyor says do dehen. If there's their siblings and their uncle passed away and they're next in line, the brothers get it before the sisters get it. Just like a son gets it before a daughter. Right. The one comes first, and that's what they say. And Tani Rav Shmuel by Yitzhak Kamed Rav Huna. He said this brisa before Rav Huna, and because it says in the pasuk, right? The pasuk says Me'ein Achim La'aviv. If there's no brothers to the fill the whole pasuk says by Yorash. The pasuk is Me'ein Achim La'aviv. If there are no brothers to the father, Unesatemus Nachlos Sheiro Krov Elav Mishpachto V'Yorash Osa. So the Gemara is talking about V'Yorash is the second Yerusha. Mekish Yerusha Shnia, the Yerusha Rishona. Yerusha Shnia means anything other than the child. Child is Yerusha Rishona. So just like when it comes, Ma Yerusha Rishona, when it comes to the initial Yerusha, which would be a child, Bein Kodim Labas, the son, the male offspring, comes before the female offspring. Af Yerusha Shnia, so too when it comes to Yerusha Shnia, and Rishbam points out, Yerusha Shnia is who are in Yerusha Siris. No matter how far down you have to go, if there ends up being a boy and a man and a woman, the man is going to come first. Af Yerusha Shnia, Bein Kodim Labas. It's only if they in that line, wherever you get to, if there are no males, that it goes to the females in that line, that link in the chain. But if they are the same link in the chain, it's males and females, it goes to the males. I'm not sure what the luck is. I know when it comes to daughters, they have to be supported first. I don't know if that halacha being supported goes down like the Yerusha Asiris or not. Like the great niece, does she have to get before, she have to get whatever is 10% of the assets, or she have to get some part of the assets before the nail in that chain? I don't know. Okay.
So the son gets, and then we go to the assets. The son has a daughter, only the son gets.
But the Gemara, she was mentioned, he only gets it once if there's enough to support the daughter at that time. She doesn't inherit it, but she gets support. But yes, yeah, the son gets. That's why in they talk about lalacha lemaisin zmanazeh. Our ideas of estate law doesn't allow for that. So people have the other staros, star chasidzachar, star zachasholim, in order to try to at least somehow, to even the playing field and let the daughters get.
Almost implies that he's first and she's second. She's nothing. He gets one and she gets nothing.
Kadima here means he goes. Precedence. He takes precedence before. That's all. Right. Tani Rabba Bar Chilna Kamei de Rav Nachman. So now the Gemara is going to bring some halachas about Yerusha. That Yerusha takes place only during the day. What does that mean? So Tani Rabba Bar Chilna Kamei de Rav Nachman. So Rabba Chanina mentioned this following brisa before Rav Nachman. It says, this is, I think this pasuk is wrote down by the Bechor, by the Ben Bechor. V'haya biyom hanchilo es banav. It was on the day that he divests to his sons. So the Bryce learns by Yom Atamapion Nechalos, via Tamapion Nechalos Balayla. Only the day did they have the inheritance. At night, there's no inheritance. So Amalei Abaye. So Abaye says Trabur Chanina. He's basically trying to flesh out what the meaning of the Bryce is, because you can learn something absurd from the Bryce. Elamiata. This is the absurd thing. Elamiata. The Shachid Bi Yemima. Who do Yarsli Bnei? Man the Shachid Bi Layla. Lo Yarsli Bnei. You're saying from here that Nachla only applies if you die during the day, meaning Elamayata, the Shach B'yama, if he dies during the day, he's the guy, the Yarsalei B'nei, only there do the sons, the children inherit, but Man the Shach B'layla, if you die at night, Lo Yarsalei B'nei, you don't inherit? That's ridiculous. Yeah. That's absolutely ridiculous. So what is the meaning? Let's crunch it. Let's figure out what the meaning of this brisa means. So Dilma, so Abaye says, Dilma, Din Nachlos Kamarta. Maybe what you're talking about is the Din of the Nachlos, meaning they go to the case, to go to probate court, or whatever it is, you go to court to distribute, that can be only done during the day, because it takes on the halachas of a din, and we know dinim can only be done during the day. Right, Rashbam points out, Dilma din nachlos kamarta, it's like the fourth, mid-sized line, V'dilma din nachlos kamarta, she'ein donen osun ela b'yom, kishar dinim amnos. We're going to judge them, we're going to adjudicate nachlos during the day, like other dinim amnos. Diksivbo, and he learns that from other cases. Beis Dov Adin Labakar Mishpat, the Kol Shar Nachlos Namikar Mishpat. We can say that we have to prove that Nachla has the din of the Mishpat. You might think that, what do you need din for? It's automatic. The Torah gives us the list, and just, boom, 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 it happens. He seems to be saying that Nachla also has the din of Mishpat. It has the din of Mishpat. You can't adjudicate Mishpat during the day. Right? So Dilma Din Nachlos Kamata. Desanya, like we have this Bryce, a different Bryce that says, Vahaisa, this is at the end of the Parsha of Yerusha, it says, Vahaisa of Israel, Lichukas Mishpat. So we say that Chukash Mishpat, it has that's the same Lashon of Din. As a Lashon of Din, Din cannot be done that night. So he says, Ura Kola Parsha Kula Lios Din. That's what he says. The Parsha concludes with this idea that it is Din. I mean, it's not like, you would think that maybe it would be like Chalukas HaShutfin. Right? Just he's splitting up the property. What's the big deal? He's splitting up the property. It's not Din. Kamash Malan, that it is Din. Gemara then says, this halacha that the Brisa brings, the name Rabbi China is Kirab Yehuda. It's similar to the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda, or it supports Rabbi Yehuda. The Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda has the following case. Now the case is interesting for the side din that it brings in, but we can see, just prove out, we can prove from it what's going on for our case. Again, we're saying now here that Nachla is the concept of din, and therefore cannot be adjudicated during the day. So Rabbi Yehuda has the following case. Sorry, it cannot be adjudicated at night. It only can be adjudicated during the day. So the Amar of Yehuda, Shlosha Shenichnasu Levaker Sachola. So three people come in, specifically three. They come in to do Bikur Cholim. Must be somebody who is like a Shchiv Meira, and he wants to divest and or distribute his property. So Shlosha Shenichnasu Levaker Chola. So you have these three people come in. They can either be witnesses. I mean, he can tell them what he wants to do, and they can witness, and then they can go testify in court. Or there are three, they can actually act as the court to affect the distribution. So Shlosha Shenichnasu Levaker Sachola, Ratzu Kosvin, if they want, they can just write it down as testimony. They can write down their testimony. I don't know why I have to write it. I'm writing. Maybe he can write it down in his will, and they can test it, and they can become witnesses to the will. Viratsu, or if he wants, osindin. They don't have to just bypass that whole process, and they can just become the dayanim right now and adjudicate the case. Right, so look, sorry, Shloshes talk to the Ratzel. Okay, so he says Shnayim. But if two walked in, Kosim Veinos and Din, then they can only act as witnesses. They cannot act as judges because they're only two. They're not three. The Amar Chizda, and Rav Chizda says on Divrei Yehuda, Lo Shanu El Bayom. That's only if they came to do the Bikur Kolim during the day. Why? Because he says Aval Bolayla. But if they do it at night, then Afilu Shlosha Kosim Veinos and Din. And even if they're three coming in at night, they can only act as witnesses. They cannot act as judges to adjudicate. My time, why can't they act as judges at all? Why can't they just do the witness it now, and then later on, afterwards, then do the split based on what they witnessed? That's because the halacha is my time, havelu edim ve'ein nasadayim. You can't become, once you're a witness in the case, you can't become a dayan. So if you learn the halacha, ve'ein nasadayim, more not for, the sugya is not here, even though Sifta has on pages and pages, but ain nasadayin. So amrle ain hachinamikamina. So Rabbi Rachina says back to Abaye. Remember, Abaye made a suggestion of what the Braisa meant. Yes. You're right. That's what the Braisa meant. The Braisa meant only that what I said is that v'hayu biyom hanchilo is because nachla gets the status of a din. You can only adjudicate it during the day, and that's what this pasuk here is saying. That when these three come in, they can only act as edim. They can't act as dayanim now because it's at night, and they can't act as dayanim later because once they became edim, ein eid nasa dayan. Okay, yeah. Okay, stop here.